Andrew Beckett is with Reading, Wisconsin. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Well, it's Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week. It's kind of ironic that we always observe it in April, but we've already had tornadoes this year, right?
That's right. We had two touchdowns in early February in southern Wisconsin.
All right. So today you're going to tell us a little bit about being prepared for that type of situation. Maybe we should just start out with how many tornadoes do we usually have in a typical year?
You know, Wisconsin averages about 23 tornadoes a year. Last year we had 21 in the state, but I'll note that 15 of those were actually in a single day at the end of March of last year. So, you know, usually when we have tornado days in Wisconsin, we might see, you know, multiple touchdowns in the same period of time, just from a very active weather pattern that moves across the state.
Okay. How should people stay safe from tornadoes? How can they prepare?
Well, you know, tornadoes in pretty much any severe weather, whether it be thunderstorms, straight line winds, you know, really a lot of the preparations are the same. First and foremost, you know, the main encouragement we have is for people to make sure that they have multiple ways to receive alerts. You know, there's outdoor warning sirens, of course, but those aren't designed to be heard everywhere. Usually if you're indoors with the windows closed, you may not hear them. So, you know, having something like a NOAA weather radio, something with battery backup, especially if you lose power in a storm, local media outlets that do broadcast severe weather information, and mobile devices as well. You know, the National Weather Service does push out wireless emergency alerts directly to cell phones, making sure that those are enabled on your device, but also having weather apps are a great way to make sure that you get notification if there is severe weather in your area. And then from there, you know, it's about knowing where your safe location to seek shelter is. You know, if you're in your home, if you have a basement, you know, getting down there away from windows, maybe under a strong, sturdy table or something is great. If you don't have access to a basement, you know, you really want to look for a ground floor interior room, something that puts as much distance between you and the outside as possible. So a bathroom, a closet, something like that, where you can go to seek shelter in order to make sure that you stay safe. And then obviously identifying whether you're at work, at school, or even just out in the community, where those shelters might be located so that you can make sure that you stay safe.
All right. So basically, we're talking about a plan here. Should you have a specific plan?
Absolutely. You know, a plan is very important, and that plan should include things like where to seek shelter, but also a communications plan. You know, how are you going to get in touch with members of your family, especially if it's during the day and everyone's in different locations, to make sure that they're safe afterwards? You know, obviously cell phone is a great way, but making sure that you have numbers for where those people are, whether it's school, the office, something like that, so that you can reach out. And then obviously identifying a location where you can meet, whether that be at home, but if the tornado were to affect your home and you were unable to get there right away, where's that alternate location in your community that you might be able to meet up? Is it another member of your family who lives in a different location? Is it a public building? Somewhere where everybody knows that that's where they need to meet up in the event that you can't get directly home after a storm.
And maybe you should have an alternate site as well, because you never know if you do actually have a tornado, that site might not be accessible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then in addition to communication, I would say that, you know, having a contact that lives outside of your area that people can reach out to, who's designated and identified as that person, is a good idea as well. You know, maybe a relative who lives the next city over or something, so that you can have everybody reach out to them if for some reason you can't get in touch locally. You know, we see this frequently with any major event, but also with disasters. You know, communication lines are going to get jammed up very quickly. You might have overloads on cell service, other phone lines. So another idea is to, you know that the alternate sometimes might be to send a text rather than to make a phone call, because text messages will frequently go through when they have the ability to, so you can get a message out that way.
Okay, and I understand the state is actually going to have a couple of drills tomorrow during which people can practice their plans, or at least, think about what they need to do.
Absolutely. So we have our annual statewide tornado drills currently scheduled for tomorrow at 1:45 and 6:45 p.m. These really offer a opportunity to practice your tornado sheltering plans. You know, schools, businesses, homes, they're encouraged to practice going to their tornado shelter, or at least having that discussion about where you would go during an actual tornado, so that people, you know, have that opportunity to really identify where that shelter is going to be, where they are during that time of day, you know, making sure that they know where to stay safe. Now, I will, you know, add a caveat on that, that, you know, we are looking at some potential for thunderstorms in the state tomorrow. It doesn't look like they're going to be severe, but we will be watching that closely and make a determination on whether or not we need to postpone to Friday for the statewide drills in the event that there's going to be any severe weather in the state tomorrow.
It's good to know, because they actually have had to do that a couple of different times.
We have had to delay the drill in the past because of the risk of severe weather in the state on the designated day. But, you know, that is built into our plan to have that sort of rain date ready to go just in case there is the potential for severe weather in the state.
Okay, so some folks will be notified via their smartphones. Tornado sirens, outdoor sirens, depends on which county you live in, whether or not they will actually sound them during the drills.
For the drill, there is no notification that goes to cell phones. The only alert that's pushed out currently through our partners would be the NOAA weather radio tests that are done mm-hmm. during the drill times. Outdoor warning sirens, depending on where you live, it is completely optional whether or not counties or municipalities who own those sirens test them during the drill times. Right. So if you hear them at 1:45 and 6:45 tomorrow, know that it is most likely because they are participating in the statewide tornado drill.
I know my weather app lets me know whether or not there is a drill, so I guess, you know, the state would not be notifying you of that. So anyway. All right. Anything else people should know about Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week? Runs through this weekend, is it?
It runs Friday is the last day. I mean, okay. Obviously, we want you to be aware of the, you know, really the whole point of why we do this every year is to encourage people to make sure that they're staying weather aware. And weather aware means, you know, obviously having multiple ways to receive alerts, but also making sure that, you know, you're checking the forecast daily. You're adjusting your plans if there is a potential for severe weather, not just tornadoes, but, you know, thunderstorms, extreme heat, you know, whether or not we, I'll, you know, put stuff at risk here and mention the possibility of late season snowstorms like we saw just recently, you know, where things pop up and can, you know, put people at risk if they're not taking precautions. You know, also just making sure that you have an emergency kit at home, you know, emergency kits with things like, you know, food and water, but also flashlights with extra batteries, having some sort of hand crank radio in there or battery operated radio in there so you can get information if the power is out, you know, extra first aid kits, some, you know, copies of important documents, extra medications if you have those available. These are all great things to have together, the waterproof case, so that you can easily access them. We really encourage people to make sure that, you know, they have 72 hours worth of food and water on hand at a minimum, so that if there were to be a disruption into services, you know, power's out in your area and the stores aren't able to be opened or something along those lines, you'd be able to be able to support you and your family for 72 hours, because it could take that long for help to really kind of get deployed to the area.
Andrew, thank you very much for telling us about Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
That is Andrew Beckett, who is with Ready Wisconsin. We appreciate him joining us this morning.